So, yeah, are you finished picking your feet yet?
Just relax,
though. Well, I just wondered whether you were ready, because we're recording. So give us a break. So welcome to back to the Randall Report. And today we're actually, we're talking, obviously it's my husband here, who's now returning the sock to his foot. Well, what have you left on the floor?
I haven't left anything on the floor.
Oh, right, okay. We're going to talk about,
rearrange myself.
Rearrange yourself. You got everything in the right position, have you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, today we thought we'd talk about our 15 minutes of fame, but then it would be more like 5 seconds with no fame.
Yeah, I never had 15 minutes. Well, actually, I did have, actually.
Oh, well, you can tell me all that, because it's all our past experiences doing performing.
30 years ago.
You were on what?
I was in a program about 30 years ago called Sticky Moments. Don't get any.
What channel was that on? Channel 4?
Channel 4 with Julian Clary.
Oh, right, yes. He's had a few sticky moments.
I wasn't actually one of the contestants. I was in the audience.
Yeah.
And the game was, they were looking for people who looked like famous people. And at the time, I had long hair. My hair was tied back.
Right.
I had relaxed hair, which is straightened.
Yeah.
You know, because my hair is normally curly. And I had it in the ponytail. And they were looking for famous people in the audience to the contestants. Say, look in the audience, see if you can find any people that look like famous people. So there was a guy sitting next to us who looked like Judy Garland for some reason. I don't know why. He did. Because I thought that when I saw him in the... Because it was that film, that London Weekend Television, and I thought... And I looked at him and I thought, God, that guy looks like Judy Garland. They're not thinking that they were going to pick him out of the audience.
Yeah.
And he actually sat next to us. And then suddenly, this thing was scanning, the camera scanning. They stopped at me and I could see myself on the monitor. What does this put at me for? And this guy goes, that guy looks like Leroy Out of Fame. And at the time, I did look like Leroy Out of Fame. I don't know why people used to, but I did look like
him. Well, I suppose that's one upon being called Ainsley Harriet every 5 minutes.
Well, I had long hair, and Leroy just had his hair in a...
Oh, a cane rose, wasn't it? Yes.
And I used to have my hair like that.
Yeah.
And they put his picture up and my picture up.
Yeah.
And we did look alike at that time.
Right.
So, yes, that's my five
Your little moment. Well, of course.
And that was about 30 years ago.
Of course.
Sticky moments.
Ah.
Julian Clary, yeah.
Well, I got invited once to go on a programme called Kilroy Live.
Kilroy Silk.
Robert Kilroy Silk.
The one
Silk,
that did that programme called You're Shafted.
Hello, yes. He did a quiz programme, which I think they took off after one series or two episodes.
Because he kept
on
doing his hand movement with his hand.
Exactly. which was like the Italian version telling somebody to fuck off.
Yes,
you know,
that's why.
One hand into the other elbow.
I don't think they actually knew what they were actually doing.
Well, I had a phone call, and again, I thought it was my mate Clive. Yeah. Nod to my mate Clive here. Periodically, when he rings you up, he'd always put on a funny voice and pretend he was somebody else and see if he could hoodwink you. Anyway, I had this phone call, and it was an invite to go on the Kilroy show. How they came by me, I don't know. It was to do with my tattoos and piercings. Yes. And they said they were looking for, the programme was about unusual kind of people, you know, because it was the early 90s.
Yes.
So, you know, it was kind of out of unusual people. So I said, okay, you know, in my sort of thing of saying yes to things, give it a go.
Yes.
So they sent a car for me.
Yes.
And I was with my partner Earl at the time. And so there was myself, and part of the way along in this limousine, they picked up this girl,
yeah,
in Bethnal Green, as I think, if I remember rightly. And she got in, and she was, you know, dulled to the nines in the mid-20s. And so as we're going along, I was sort of saying to her, I said, oh, I said, you're going to the show as well? She said, yes. She said, I've been signed on by an agency.
Oh, really?
So she had to go part of an agency. And but anyway, we got there and we were all parked up in the green room, which is where, you know, they give you tea and a soggy biscuit and
prepare you for the
program. Prepare us for the programme. They then inform us that there's been a change of subject, and it's no longer... So the whole point of me being there, along with these others, is no longer relevant. And it was more about looky-likies. You know, people who look like other people. And it's like, well, hang on a minute. I didn't really consider that I had a doppelganger who was a celebrity, particularly. Yeah. Although I once had various people reckoned I was Richard Fairbrass. Remember him from the Rocky Horror Show? Fairbrass? No, Richard, the other one from Rocky Horror Show. And Richard Fairbrass, I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Yeah, but excuse me, you've got a bald head.
Because I've got a bald head. It's nothing
to do with you looking like him. You look nothing like him.
It's like you and Ainsley Harriet.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I like Ainsley Harriet. It's just that I'm black. And I got a bald head.
You're not, are you?
I went into Books for Cooks and somebody was saying to me, oh, I'm very pleased for your programme. I went, okay. And I thought, okay, this just might be just one mistake.
Yeah.
Then somebody else asked
you for your autograph?
No, but somebody else came up to me.
What would you do? Would you follow through and just sort of...
Somebody else came up to me and said to me, well done for your programme. Really pleased about your programme on TV. And I was like, it's the second person that's asked me about my programme on television.
It's
ridiculous. And then somebody, I said, do I look like... I had to ask the person, like, excuse me, but... Are you mistaking me for somebody else? And it was there, but you mistaken me from Ainsley.
Well, of course.
And I was in Books for Cooks.
Oh, dear. Oh, jeez. Really?
Yes.
Just because you were in a bookshop.
Yes, that's you for Cooks.
For Cooks.
Yes, there's a shop called Books for
Cooks. Turned two and then made 27.
Yes.
Right. Well, anyway.
Go ahead.
Anyway, look. So I'm at the in the green room, and they've told us there's a subject change, so really I'm no longer relevant. And then this coach loads of old grannies and pensioners.
Well, they appeared, always did that, didn't they?
From up north, you know, on a coach trip.
Yeah.
And then we were all hustled through into the studio. And guess what? Kilroy Live wasn't live at all.
Oh.
No, they recorded all sorts of various endings. But the thing that struck me most about the show, there was one particular chap who his looky likey was Prince Charles.
Yeah.
And he didn't, he had the sort of the slightly ruggedy face that Prince Charles had, before he went silver. So we were talking, as I said, talking early 90s. And I thought, really, there was no resemblance at all. Until he was ready to go on set and put a piece of blue tack behind each ear to. giving that sticky out ear appearance
push it out.
That Prince Charles had when he was a younger man.
And that was it.
And I don't remember what came up on the show. The only thing I really do remember is that Robert Kilroy ran past me and trod on my bad toe. The same bad toe that you've trod on once, that seems to fall victim any time there's anything going to happen to my feet. It's that right big toe, which now looks like the foot of an elephant. You know, but anyway, that was some... So what's
other? But we've had a spot of... We have had
a spot of dinner. Yes, on who do you think you are, Penny Morden? poking your finger at me like that. No. If you don't know who Penny Morden is, she's the ex-magician's assistant who fancies herself as the next leader of the Tory party.
We've had our little claim to fame when we was on the Trisha show, you remember?
Oh, yes, when Ricky Cullen, yes.
We went to Teddington Studios?
Yes.
Teddington Teddington Studios.
Yes.
Which was quite far for us to go to, but we went anyway.
Yeah.
And
was there anything memorable about it?
I met my friend Wendy, who I used to work with at the post office. She was there.
All right.
I hadn't seen her for 20 odd years, and I had met. She was there with her daughter.
Yeah, really.
So that was a nice thing to see.
Yeah.
But
you weren't really performing.
But we know how fake TV was. We weren't performing, but we were on TV.
Dreadfully fake.
But we were performing because we was in the what do you call it? Not the garage, the place where the green room. And because we were having a joke and laugh and we were quite loud, they
put us on the front row.
They pointed us out and said, no, you can sit here.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Did we heckle anybody?
No, but if you remember before the show...
But we did the warm-up.
They do the warm-up before.
That's it,
and
yes.
And they ask you to come on stage, or anybody to come on stage, do like a role-play.
Yes, Ricky and thingy, we were role-playing from the audience, as I remember. Yeah, well, that was fun, wasn't
it? But then, it was, you know how fake TV is anyway, because they have somebody to come and warm you up, they have a comedian to come and warm you up, and then they do the role-play to cheer you up, to give you, so you can have all that, kind of, and scream at people. So you can actually have the confidence to do that. But we didn't have it. We didn't need to do that because when the actual real people came on, he didn't have no problem screaming at the woman that was with her kids on stage.
Yes, I remember.
Giving her advice and waving his finger and his head like this, you know. So that kind of thing.
Waving his finger from side to side.
So yes, but we were on television. We were
and of course I did Homes Under the Hammer, didn't I?
Yes, you did, yes.
That dodgy property program. If you've ever seen any British property TV, there's a program called Homes Under the Hammer where basically they sell some dilapidated old shithole. And at auction.
And then they have
some real estate agents come in on film, and they look around, and then they come again after the place has been renovated and refurbished, and give it the new value. Right, you know, because you've put this dodgy $800 kitchen in, it's now worth $300,000 and all that kind of thing. Again, another total TV fix.
But because, did you do the Witch Doctor programme?
Well, yes.
Oh, sorry, House Doctor.
Yes, Witch Doctor. closer.
I never made that claim. I never made that claim.
I'm sure she's long dead.
No.
Sorry, if you're not.
No, that claim was made by these two other guys who used to have their property program on. Do you remember?
The two
gay guys who had their own property program. They used to fix up houses. Do you remember? And they were in an interview and they asked them, what did they think of the House Doctor? And one of them said, what do you mean, the House Doctor? The Witch Doctor.
So now I've got to explain what House Doctor is. Another English property programme.
Rubbish.
Where, I'll move on to that in a minute, actually, because it does have a little sort of anecdote of its own. But going back to Homes Under the Hammer, they didn't really appreciate my humour, as I remember, because of this data. I was seen entering the affray to the music of Ennio Morricone, The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. And there was that's it. And there was three of us.
Yes.
Right. I was looking like the good. Possibly the bad, but hopefully not the ugly. I think that went to one of the other agents that was there.
What was that noise?
Well, I don't know what
that drilling? Was.
Well, I probably.
What was your...
Because we're rich. That's rich, isn't it? That's rich, yeah.
We had meat enough. Carry on, sorry.
Really?
There we go.
So you think I'm about to blow off?
No.
All right.
Carry on.
Anyway.
Any road up.
They didn't like it because I entered to the Ennio Morricone's The Good and the Bad and the Ugly. And then I'm going around this apartment and looking at this new bathroom they put in. Yeah. And I lift the toilet seat.
Yes.
And I look down into the loo and I go, aye, aye, somebody's been here earlier. Somebody dropped their kids off at the pool. Or as one Australian said to me on one occasion when he looked.
Burger.
He says, oh, aye, aye, somebody's left a Bondi burger here. which is, I don't need to explain what it is.
Exactly.
One of those things that's floating in the pool that you desperately try and swim away from if you see one on holiday. But anyway, the house doctor. Mm. I didn't appear on camera in that film.
No, because you assaulted somebody.
No.
Was that after?
No, the house doctor, another property programme, and where's this American lady, who was the presenter, she was a drunk.
Oh, that's nice to say. You can't say that.
Well, I'm sorry. Her. She was absolutely...
You can't say that, but she might sue you.
Well, she... okay. Allegedly.
Allegedly, she drank too much.
No, I'm not saying she... on this occasion...
Allegedly, she drank.
Allegedly.
She drank too
she
much.
She seemed a bit worse for wear.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Pissed out of her head. Allegedly.
And she'd been around this Victorian house opposite in the street. Up in the East End of London. And a very nice little Georgian terraced house. That she was the lady who owned it was very proud. And then the suggestion was how she could make it look.
Yeah.
And we'd gone into another house in the same street that was up for sale. And we'd been trying to sell it for about 3 years and nobody wanted it. Well, somebody had taken this beautiful little Georgian terrace house and inside turned it into something uber contemporary. And it just didn't go.
Like some people that we know.
Yes. And she thought that the house doctor, her premise was that this is how this other lady's house should look. Without really recognising that's why house doctor, we got them in doing the programme, because we couldn't get rid of the damn thing. But in front of the camera... she proceeded to tell the other lady that her place needed gutting, that it was a dump.
Nice.
To which the said lady took great exception.
Oh.
But the house doctor woman, who was really under the influence, allegedly.
That's why she's not on TV anymore, because she was very rude.
She was rude.
She's a bit like...
Well, in the finish, it nearly turned into a brawl.
Well, she was very rude.
You know, I thought, oh my God, this is going south. This is, you know. You remember when I went and did it?
I remember you did it, yes.
But anyway, you, of course, tell me more. Tell the listeners more about when you were doing drag, darling. Because you were a drag act.
Yeah, as many moons ago, my lovers.
Hello. Yeah.
Well, before the tats, anyway. And I went to an act on a Sunday, and it was a talent show, and I was just so fed up of these bloody people doing a bad job. Well, I could do that much better, and my singing voice is not great, but I can hold a tune. So I thought, don't be laughing, it's not funny. I can hold a tune, excuse me. So I thought, with a friend, I said, why don't we enter? And he was a bit
reluctant. Yeah. First.
Shut up, I'm telling my story.
He holds a tune like somebody's got the DTs.
Excuse me.
You go on.
I can hold a tune.
Well, you can, just, yeah. Go on.
You got something else to say? No. Anyway. So, we went and we entered the competition one Sunday and we won.
Right. Who did you...
I'm not going to mention the person's name I did it with. But I did them on my own to begin with. The first time I did the first time I did it was at the Black Horse, actually. And I did it...
Oh, in Stepney.
In Stepney. I did it at the Black Horse. I also did it... I actually did it twice at the Black Horse. But, and that was with my ex-partner. And I actually got through
who was your
the
character?
Second round.
Right.
No, I just went up and sang to just...
back. Not in drag.
Not in drag, because it started. But then the drag thing started when we would go to the Black Cap on a Sunday, and then we did the competition, and then Sandra, who was a drag queen who I knew very well and became good friends with when I used to go clubbing, actually said, do you want to come and work with us on a Sunday? And I said, oh, cool. And we got paid. Mm. So we do like every other Sunday.
And what did you do?
Come on, and we do like one of us would sing, both of us would sing live, and which is unusual. But at that time.
Were you dragged up?
Not
as anybody? Yet,
not to begin with. And then
later
on, someone says, "Why don't you do drag?" I said, "Okay," because it looked a bit very good if your voice is quite deep, and his voice is quite high, and he's the male part and you're the female part, so you look kind of people looking a bit weird. So then I started to dress up. So I went and bought some clothes in the Stratford Market to wear and some heels and stuff like that, a wig. Yeah. And it was quite an
unusual good job act. I didn't know you then.
So we started to, do some competitions, and we did another one, quite a few, one in the West End in a place which is not far from where you used to live in the Earl's Court. We did competition there, we got quite far, we came second. We did another one in Stratford. There was a pub in Stratford, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a pub right not far from
Not Pigeons.
It was in the centre of Stratford.
Oh, right, okay.
It's not there anymore, it's gone. Don't remember the name of it, but it's quite a big pub.
Yeah.
But this place that we did that one in, it was a fix, because we were set to win. We knew we were going to win because we were the best act there. But then they were waiting for the last act to come, thinking, why is this act didn't turn up?
You mean when I did that singing competition? Yes.
And the last act turned up so late.
Hello.
We were waiting about 45 minutes for this guy, and he turned up late, then he sang, and then he won.
Exactly.
And I
thought,
this is not right. Oh, my whole family were there. My mum didn't come. But
what was the prize?
It was to perform in different pubs. That was
right, okay.
All my family were there. Yeah. And they were like, this is a fix.
Oh dear.
So could you imagine my family screaming, going, this is a fix. And the thing is, we were actually quite good, because my sister had never seen me sing. So she was like, wow, oh my God, I never knew you guys could do this. So it was it was quite good.
And she didn't say anything about the fact that you were dressed as a woman?
No, not really. just normal for me to do that.
Okay.
So that was the beginning of it. And then we got work, and we were doing different things on Sundays with Sandra, and we were doing regular work. And then when you was in Gran Canaria and I was in Gran Canaria at the same time, we did some work with her there. We went to sang with her twice. And I can't believe you didn't see us, because that was really bizarre. Because we actually sang twice in Gran Canaria with Sandra.
Well, these
she came to our villa, and we had lunch with her, and we did a chat, and it was really nice holiday.
It's quite possible I did see you perform.
But we didn't know who I was.
But I wouldn't have known who you were in drag, obviously.
I wasn't in drag in Gran Canaria.
Oh, well, then I didn't.
We were just on stage.
Yeah.
I remember her introduction to us, because she was always cheeky to us. We do think it was banter. She'd say things like, I wanted to introduce my two friends who are over from England to help me come and do this show with me.
Yeah.
And she goes, don't be too afraid of them. You probably would have seen them on the beach selling sunglasses and cheap bags and trainers. But they're
that's cruel, isn't it?
It was hilarious. Everybody was laughing.
I remember Alan Sugar got into trouble for making comments.
They don't speak very much English.
Yeah.
You know, they... We have to translate for you when they come on.
Yeah.
when we came on, she was like, what is she fucking doing? You're really taking the piss. It's like,
that's so rude.
You know, she was quite funny. It was very funny, though. It was very funny.
But she laughed because she's black, of course.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, that was our claim to fame performing. And we did it quite regularly. And then we did, what was the last one we did? We did what, the Black Horse. And we did a good show at the Black Horse. Did we win at the Black Horse? I can't remember if we won or not.
So you were just doing competitions, really?
No, we did competitions at the beginning.
And we did
some work with
Sunday. Because my only experience...
We performed on Sunday. But that was when we... One Sunday, as I tell you the story.
You know the show's only half an hour long.
Is it? Okay, one Sunday, we would perform in there. And every week there used to be a strippers' age.
Yeah.
So you'd go into the dressing room and you'd say hello to the drag acts that were there and say hello, kiss, kiss, kissy, and chat before we went and have a drink and have a laugh and,
yeah,
you know, throw shade at the other drag queens and other people.
Right, and the other performers that were doing other things, strippers.
Well, one of the strippers came in and he sat down and he took off his robe or whatever it was, just chatting, and then suddenly...
Standing there naked?
Well, no. He wasn't naked at first. He was sitting there, but he was all ready to go.
Oh, well, right with his... Yes.
But then he was just chatting to us. We weren't looking because we were chatting to each other. And then suddenly I looked in the mirror and then I turned around and he's still chatting. But somebody was getting him ready to go on. They were fluffing
his bits.
His bits. And I was just having a normal conversation with you. It was just like, what the hell is going on?
That was kind of
a bit bizarre, but there you go.
That's conveniently.
That show business.
It's a show business.
It's a show business in the drag world. And the dressing room was very tiny, so you couldn't really escape it. But you just embarrassed because you just think, okay. What the hell is going on, isn't it?
Well, I know these strippers because obviously having frequented many gay clubs over the... I nearly said centuries. That's not far off. having a frequent few... They pump the dicks up and then tie them. So tight that you can't see it.
Yeah, so it helps to keep it upright.
Yes,
during the performance, and so when it looks bigger.
Exactly, and when they do their sort of bit at the end where they reveal.
Yeah, it looks bigger than it is, but it's actually...
And by that stage, after 15 it's minutes, it's purple. Like a bloody aubergine.
And then when they release it, it's like a balloon, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, dear, oh, dear. But anyway, that kind of... There's a nice natural link there, yeah. Because I remember once... so we're going back to probably late 80s, maybe 1990, maybe.
Long time ago.
When I stood in the bar of the club that was in Leicester. It was they had a pub part called the Leicester Place, and a club part to it called Street Life, which was set up like a shopping street, you know. But the DJ box was tucked up in one of the fake shop fronts. Nice. And there were street lamps, and the dance floor was sort of made out of a tarmac-y sort of, with the stage at the end from the drag shows and what have you. But I was in the bar one Saturday night, and this chap from an AIDS charity said, "How would you consider?" Feel about considering doing a strip show for the charity, because we're going to turn the entire club area into a dinner space for the evening and the early part of the evening before the club opens, a complete huge dinner space for 400 people.
Yeah.
To raise money for the dinner and the we'll raise money for the entertainment and yourself as the sort of all part of it. So they had a number of different acts, and I said yes, which is not uncommon if you've had a couple of 3 pints, and then of course you wake up the following morning and think, oh my God, what have I done? What have I agreed to? And I do remember sort of saying, okay, well, we're stuck now, so we'll do it. We'll raise some money. And so I got together with my ex and Kamal and somebody else, I think. And we cobbled together some bits of music from Depeche Mode, things like Master and Servant, what have you. And I it took us about 3 weeks to organise and do the routine in time for this charity dinner. And but I remember I was bricking it, absolutely, so nervous before it started. I think I had about a good half bottle of gin before I went on stage.
And you were pissed?
No, I was as sober as a judge. I didn't touch the sides. Normally, a couple of G&Ts and I'm very merry. But I must have drunk at least half a bottle and I was still stone cold sober. And I remember going on stage and I did this thing. I was, when I'd taken off all the various bits, leather jacket and all the bits and pieces and a leather cap on, it got down to really just a leather harness and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice. And then I sort of went around the audience and with the hat to collect money directly as well from the dinner tables. And if they didn't cough up, I squirted them with baby oil.
Oh, God.
Which obviously then meant I didn't have to do that more than once or twice before everybody coughed up.
Of course, because it stains their clothes.
And I raised another £400. Which I reckon was pretty good. I think it was about £400. Mm. But there you go, that was my... but I wish I'd known the secret then of fluffing up, of course. Because I tell you what, after half a bottle of gin in a club space that actually wasn't that warm, because there wasn't a lot, you know... Mm. It wasn't heated, as I remember.
No, the back rooms are never warm.
You know, and, you know... My appendage shrunk to the size of a cocktail sausage, or it felt like it.
It wasn't.
But clearly, from the money I raised, that was just all in my own head. Probably.
It wasn't. The problem is those rooms, they weren't actually dressing rooms. They were like, didn't have a dressing room. It was a cupboard. It was a cubby hole with a mirror.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the cubby hole was. Really, mainly for the top drag queens. So that was their dressing room. But right. It wasn't the dressing room. You could only hang two dresses in there. Mm. So, I mean, I remember one night when we performed and I bought this lovely gold dress from the 1960s with a jacket, short, what do they call it?
Bolero. If you're common, you call them bolero jackets.
Bolero, with a bolero jacket.
Yes. And when I was a knitting designer, separate day, another subject, I designed a bolero jacket.
Gold satin with lovely brocade. Was it called brocade? Is it?
Yeah.
Beading. Across the dress bit.
Yes.
And the dress was like sleeveless. Yes. It was beautiful. It was satin. It was tight fitting. It was 1960s. Really short, mini. Beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Looked a bit like Shirley Bassey, I bet.
It was gorgeous. And I bought it to go on stage and then I was performing.
She can't sing like Shirley Bassey, man.
But then when I turned around to do a move and dance and then I just said...
Oh, and the whole went.
Back of it
just tore. Was
ripped. Oh. And the zip was all ripped.
Yeah.
But then, luckily I had the jacket on.
Yeah.
Because you didn't see the rip at the back.
Right.
Because it looked really terrible. And I didn't realise the underarm of the dress had split all the way down the side. Because when I bought it...
So nobody would have turned the bar and better notice if you'd have been in the acne.
No, because if I... Yeah, because when I bought
That's
it...
That's how people go to work.
When I bought it, when I tried it on in the second-hand shop, I fitted in it beautifully.
Yes.
But by the time I went to use it to perform, I gained a few pounds. I gained a few pounds by then.
You were a bit of a tub.
I gained a few pounds. from all the beer that I used to drink before, when I used to go out.
Bit like you did before Paul and Ian's wedding when you were measured up for that denim outfit.
No, you have to mention and, the
well, a nod to the outfits because you put on a few pounds and then the waistcoat was
up here on my stick.
It was more like an armband.
Yeah. So I put on a few pounds so the dress splits. I could never wear it again. It wasn't expensive, but it was beautifully made.
Well, but not strongly, mate.
Not strong enough because the stitching came apart. And
there was no elastane around then, was there?
So that was one of the stories. The other story that I had when I was doing a charity to do like you was doing, it was done in the Coup Bar in Clapham or something like that. Anyway.
Yeah.
And we were there and we were doing it for charity for HIV and AIDS. And it was good because there were a lot of people. It was packed. I remember during rehearsal, we had to go there and I had to wear high heels, which were 6-inch heels.
Right.
And the guy who was organising said, you need to come down.
Not stiletto, sure.
Stiletto.
Yeah,
he goes, you need to come down
those steps. I hope you weren't a tub then, love.
No, I wasn't. I was
you'd have got stuck on them.
I was, excuse me, I was quite slender. And I had to come down this, because they've got this staircase that comes down like this.
Yeah.
In like a snake.
Spiral, they call it.
Spiral.
Well, I call it Hollywood staircase.
It's kind of, yes, it's kind of like you know, anyway, was it, the staircase maybe came down like that into the lower bar.
Yeah.
Because was there an upper bar? I can't remember. There wasn't an upper bar, but it was very...
We're back on the property
anyway,
programme.
So anyway, it came down like that. So yeah, I had to walk down. His direction was, when you come down,
yeah.
And in rehearsal, I had to walk down in these heels.
Yes.
So in rehearsal, I was used to wearing the 16 shoes anyway, but in rehearsals... I almost fell down them twice. On the night, I was coming down the stairs and I thought, oh my God, please. All I was thinking was, please, please do not fall down in front of all these people. Please don't fall down in front of all these people. I was going through my head. And luckily I didn't, because the music started and I was doing it to Whitney Houston's But It's Not Right, It's Okay.
Yeah.
So I was miming to that in my lovely, gorgeous, you know, what do you call it? It was like a black dress with the little frills at the bottom, which when I moved it sort of moved like,
a bit like, yes, but like a Charleston dress,
yes, that kind of thing,
yeah,
and nice tights, and you know, everything. So I was coming just about to come down the stairs with my fake little fur thing around my shoulders,
yes,
and I was quite fit then, because when I look at the back of the pictures, I actually see my muscles in my chest were quite firm, because I looked at the pictures not long ago and I was like, okay. Anyway, so the music came on and then somebody said, was this supposed to be Whitney Houston? And I was like, and I thought, okay, whatever.
Let it go.
And then he said, more like Whitney Houston's Nan.
Well, there you have it, folks.
And I was like, that's so rude.
There you have it, folks. That's so rude. Yeah. I've then, of course, ever seen you. We'll leave you with this, folks, until next time. We've got plenty more where that came from. But we'll leave you with this. The only time I've actually seen you in drag, well, it's twice. Once as Foxy Brown, but most memorable as Tina Turner, but in wellies, running away. You did this turn as Tina Turner, didn't you? And halfway through your act, somebody let a couple of dogs that were on the site out. And the last we saw of Tina Turner,
was running down the gangway,
was running down the path in wellies with Tina Turner dress and wig and all the regalia and two dogs chasing after you, which I know the dog. They'd have only licked you.
But do you remember when I came out in the heels and I was supposed to be walking towards the Alhambra, the Hamer.
Yes, that's not something that
and no. I slipped over. Yeah.
Oh dear.
Not once but twice.
Well, there you go. I can't talk about how many times I've been on my arse. Anyway, well, until another time.
Yes.
Dear, I can't get that out of my mind. All right, well, good day, folks. And thank you for joining. And we'll catch up again soon.